This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
It's now time to go to our first guest in the Power Hour, because in a half an hour, we will unveil the ACC Golf Awards. We're sworn to secrecy. We cannot tell. But right now, Dallin Cuff joins us because it is a big, big day in men's soccer in the NCAA tournament. And the ACC front and center, Wake, North Carolina, and Pitt getting after it. All right, Dallin, what's happening? You doing all right?
I'm doing well, fellas. Good to be on with you as always.
Always a pleasure. Big day in the NCAA tournament. Pitt, number two seed, the highest seed still left in the dance, but they get Washington. What concerns would you have if you're Pittsburgh in this game?
It's another elite team. That's where we're at right now. In the Elite Eight, you're going to play other quality opponents, and Washington's a top 10 opponent. They're the seventh seed. This is a fun game, folks. The game, I think, kicks off at 1 o'clock today. If you can, tune in on NCAA.com. They have the ability to watch the games. Both these teams can score. I mean, Pitt's been the best team in the tournament, bar none. They scored 10 goals in two games. It's been pretty ridiculous, but that's what they're known for. Offensively, they are an absolute juggernaut. Valentin Nohel is up for Player of the Year candidate in the country, one of the top 15 semifinalists, as is Jasper Lofelsen, one of their right backs that gets forward and helps create offense as well. But they're a dynamic scoring group. They, you know, I mentioned the 10 goals, but they're averaging over 2.5 goals a game, top in the nation. But so is Washington. Washington's just over 2 goals a game. They're top 10 in the nation. So both teams can score. The question of who can possess the ball, who can dominate the game in the midfield, is probably going to win this game. If you can put your stamp on it, you can control it and maximize your opportunities while obviously minimizing your opponents. Going to be a really entertaining game. And like I said, Pitt's been the best team in the tournament. We'll see if they can carry that forward with another really dominant performance.
Dallin, we had Jay Vidovich on last week. I was really impressed just talking to him about kind of the processes that he wants his team to go through and kind of how he's thinking of this event. Has he got kind of a sixth sense against the opponents now? I mean, does he have enough under the hood at Pittsburgh and the kind of talent he's got that it's really about how his team plays regardless of the opponent?
It's getting to that point. And bear in mind, playing in the ACC, they prepare for that. I mean, they lost to Clemson twice this year in the ACC automatic qualifier match we did a couple weeks ago, as well as the ACC tournament final back in November. But that prepares you that you're going to go against the best. But they do have enough talent that if they play at their peak level, it's hard to say anybody can beat them. The difference is you've got to play at that level. And when they've lost those games in Clemson, Clemson outplayed them. I mean, dominated the game. Controlled it, minimized their opportunity, was able to score, and really frustrated Pitt. So they are uber talented. But that said, you know, soccer is an interesting game where if you can't get going, you can't get your rhythm, and you're an offensively geared team, they can go through some struggles. We saw with the other elite teams, and we haven't seen many teams been able to do that to them outside of Clemson. So Washington has a huge task in their hands. And Jay Vidovich, I do think the institutional knowledge of him being there before, obviously he won a title with Wake Forest. He's been to multiple Final Fours. He knows what it's all about. Washington is a team that hasn't been to this stage in quite some time. So I wonder how that experience plays from a coaching standpoint. But these players haven't been there either. But they have performed in this tournament, to say the least. And what's been really impressive about what he's done at Pitt, Jay, is year over year, he's improved the program. And they've made milestone after milestone. Starting in 1965, they hadn't been to an NCAA tournament. So he ticked that off a couple years ago. They hadn't won an ACC tournament game, ticks that off. Gets him to number one ranking in the nation. They hadn't been there. So it's like he keeps making progress. They've never been to Elite Eight. So this is not a logical conclusion, but it's a process they've gone through where we see the steps being built year over year. And this is his best team. It's his deepest team. It's his most talented team. And they're showing that right now.
Dallin, you couldn't have scripted a better case scenario for Pitt, quite frankly, as you're sitting here on game day, because number one, you mentioned they've scored 10 goals. They've been incredibly efficient. They've got the ability to score at will because that's what they've been doing all year. And the one bugaboo is now out of their way, and that is Clemson, who is the number one seed. So I'm sure somewhere down the road they were like, hey, we'll see these guys again, and when we do, we'll be ready. But now out of sight, out of mind, they can concentrate and just say, guess what? If we do what we do best, we can win the national championship. End of story. End of conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should believe that. And Clemson did have their number, as I mentioned before, and played well. Clemson was the opposite side of the bracket. So if they would have met, it would have been in the final. It would have been a great final. We've already seen it twice this year. We would have been happy to see it a third time. But that's not going to happen. And they're focused here and now on the Huskies. Bear in mind, the Pac-12, and you could argue the Big Ten as well, is the second and or third best conference in the country to the ACC. So they do have quality opponents and quality wins Washington has. I mean, they beat a Stanford, who was four seed early in the year, was top five team in the nation. They also beat Oregon State, who was a top five team in the nation. So it's not like the Huskies are walking into this game scared either. Pitt knows that they're capable of beating anybody, but Washington believes the exact same thing. The difference is, have they seen this level of attacking talent and their opponent in the Panthers? That I don't think so. The question is, how do they respond?
All right. The other side that we're going to keep an eye on is the ACC showdown between Carolina and Wake Forest. Seems kind of unfair to have it play out like this, but nonetheless, what do you expect with the Tar Heels and Deacons today?
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer, Wes. Let's be real here. It would have been great if they were all in different pods and could all get into the Final Four, similar to what the women did. You know, three out of four going to the women's Final Four at the College Cup. That's not the case here. So in this game, when they played earlier this year, I think it was Kyle Holcomb had an extra overtime game-winning goal, 97th, 98th minute. He's been the kind of guy that led the line for Wake Forest all year long. And the thing with Wake is, this is a different team. That was back, you know, that was a different squad. This team now, in the spring, has lost a ton of pros, Wake Forest has. But Omar Hernandez, that guy playing the ball in right there, has been outstanding. Holcomb getting the header. But Hernandez has been great in the middle of the pitch. He's a two-time National Gatorade Player of the Year when he was in high school. He's really emerged as those Isaiah Parente and Machup Chole and Calvin Harris, all those guys went to the pros. Hernandez has stepped up to his role of being a creative player, be more assertive and being dominant. Holcomb, their number three, is kind of finishing things off for them when they need it. So this team, Wake Forest, is very offensively talented. They are very young, though. They started seven freshmen in the last match. So there's a young group that's trying to continue to find out who they are, as a lot of their veterans have changed from fall to have left from fall to spring. The difference, the opposite is the case in North Carolina. It's essentially the exact same squad minus the center back, Matt Constant. He's an important loss, but overall, that defense for Carolina has been their calling card all year. They're top 10 in the nation in goals allowed per game, just over a half goal a game. That's first in the ACC as well. They make it really tough to score on them, and that they can frustrate you. They're very good offset pieces, so they have a pretty simple formula. We keep it tight, make it tough for you. We have some talent in the attack. If you foul us around the box, you're probably in trouble because we score very well offset pieces and off corners, and that's kind of been their formula all year long. So can Wake be patient, not make mistakes, try to capitalize on the one or two opportunities they get? You're going to have to be clinical in this match. I don't see a bunch of goals. So when you get a chance, you're going to have to finish it, and it's going to be a tight game. Last said, the goalkeepers will be important. In North Carolina, Alex Smur is probably the best shot stopper in the league, and he's shown that time and time again this year. So he's play an integral role. So I'm interested to see how that plays. I think will be a tactical battle, a tough physical game, and kind of a war of attrition, basically.
All right, so with that said, Dallin, you're the expert here. Who do you like in that game?
He does the old
fake left, go right. I have the answer, and it is frozen in time.
It is.
We'll get
freeze.
Dallin back on there. I mean, listen, Dallin loves it. Yeah. He loves it and knows it, so I'm curious what his answer is going to be. All right, we got him back. All right, Dallin, we're putting you on the spot. Yeah. The breakdown was outstanding. So with that said, late this afternoon, God willing, North Carolina and Wake Forest. Who do you like to win that match? I'll have a double scoop of freeze, please. The double
that
freezer.
That was priceless.
All right, should we try three times the charm?
Third time.
All right, for the third time because, you know, work. I think Dallin was going to – wait a minute. I think you were answering Wake Forest the first time. The second time, I think you changed your mind. You went Carolina. So now you got to break the tie. For the third time, Dallin, who do you like in that Wake Forest-North Carolina match this afternoon?
I was not waffling. I was wondering why all of a sudden my connection's breaking down. I think as a loyal Disney man, Disney Plus has just been put on in another room. Maybe they're sucking the bandwidth out of our house here. We'll see what's going on.
Blame the parent company. That's it. Blame the parent company.
That's it. That's go after the big, go after the big house. That's it.
I'm letting people know why the internet might be breaking down.
Sure.
Okay. I will say that I think it's going to be Wake Forest. I think I'm going – I mean, let's go. Let's be honest, guys. Basketball – I was a chucker, want to score buckets. So there you go. I'm going to simply say, I'm going to go with the offense here. I think Wake Forest is a little more potent offense, a couple more game breakers, maybe Hernandez, maybe Holcomb could be the difference in one of those one or two chances they're going to get. They finish and they find a way through. But I think it'll be, a really tight game. But I'll take Wake and a little bit more attacking prowess, a little more attacking talent, but youth to move forward.
So you like Wake and Pitt?
All right, I got it.
You think we get the ACC showdown?
Yep.
Okay.
I do like Wake and Pitt. Now, those guys would be on opposite sides. They would have to meet in the final to get to that point. But just getting to that College Cup would be really important for themselves and for the league, and particularly, again, for Pitt, as you're trying to build that program like they already have.
All right. So ACC's won 7 of the last 15 titles. You get 8 of the last 16, you think, at the end of this or not?
Matchups matter, Wes. I think we got to see who goes through. If Georgetown, you know, goes through against Marshall, that's much, much different. Georgetown playing either North Carolina, Wake, or like I said, it's Wake, Georgetown. That's way different than Marshall, Wake Forest. And on the other side, Seton Hall, a team that has never been in this stage either against Indiana. Again, that's very different. Seton Hall's talented. They won the Big East tournament, beat Georgetown in the final in the game that they kind of controlled. But if they go through, that's different than the Hoosiers, who've been there before, who have institutional knowledge, have really great players. So it's tough to say, but if we get 2 out of the 4, that's a great start. That's where we were the last time we had a tournament. And Virginia, remember, lost to Georgetown in one of the greatest finals you're ever going to see. 3-3, went to penalties. It was an outstanding game. I can only hope we have a final like that again. But we'll wait and see. But hopefully 2 ACC teams will be in the mix.
All right, that sounds like a plan. All right, before we go, though, as is tradition with you, and only you, exclusively with you. Let me emphasize that, exclusively with Alan Cuff, the infamous Portuguese word of the day.
The word of the day is going to be classificado. That means, in this situation, how you use the word, it's to move on. So we had 3 out of 4 in a tournament style. You'd say Fordham, the others, Fordham classificados. These teams classified and move forward. So for women, obviously, 3 of 4 have already done it. They're in the College Cup. They've classified. Hopefully we're saying the same thing about the men. Coming up on tomorrow with 2 of the 4, move on, and we'll be in the College Cup.
Like it.
All right, well done. Hey, by the way, have we checked on the new arrival at the Cornettes around the corner there in the subdivision? How are things going? Have we checked on the new dad and mom, see how everybody's doing? Shay, I know, is fine. I'm more worried about Jordan, to be honest with you.
Well, Jordan, as he told us the other day before he went on air, he started exfoliating. So, I mean, he feels great. His face looks great. He feels great. He doesn't sleep, but it doesn't look like it. That's the most important part right now. But baby Joey apparently is doing well. They're doing well. And I still have not seen little baby Joey, so we're going to hopefully see him this week for the first time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks, Dallin. Be well. See you soon.
Have a good one, fellas.
Thanks. You appreciate it. Dallin Cuff, don't forget the ACC Softball Championship. Talk about conference championships. We've got coverage from Louisville starting this week for you right here on ACC Network. Starts Wednesday. First round coverage, 1 o'clock Eastern. ACC Softball Championships right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app, so you can stay in touch with it from anywhere. When we come back, we tour the league. We will check in on lacrosse. We'll check in on field hockey. We got the baseball scoreboard, the softball details, and more. And we will show you the bracket for the ACC Softball Championship. Packer and Durham presented by New York Life.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Chapel Hill, North Carolina, for the NCAA Field Hockey National Championship game. Michigan gets on the board first. Keep an eye on number 1, Madsen. There she is, Madsen. Score it, and we're tied at 1.
It's the end of the field hockey season, and we need to crown a national champion. 2 evenly matched teams. We talk about laying it out on the field. No one is taking anything for granted.
That's it. Madsen. Mary Madsen trying to have it. She goes. UNC wins their 3rd straight national championship and the 9th in program history.
Gonna be a froyo party in Chapel Hill. Gonna tell you that right now. Froyo for everybody. She's something else, that Aaron Matson now. She is something else. She can play.
Great job by Mike Corey and Leah Secundo last night with the coverage from Chapel Hill, especially when it got into sudden victory. And congratulations to Karen Shelton in North Carolina. I think this is the ninth national championship, third in a row for Karen Shelton.
Tied with
Holy smokes.
Tied with Old Dominion.
Yeah.
New back scratcher coming into the office here. New back scratcher.
You're really counting on we're really counting on getting one of these now promptly. We're not gonna have to go through Mattson again. Think Shelton will send us one, huh?
Well, you know, Aaron, listen, I have total faith in both of those ladies. I do. Karen Shelton has always been kind to us, and Aaron Mattson. She's a trip. We love having her on the show. She's funny. She's intelligent. Yep. She's a great player. Not good. Great player. But yeah, we'll hopefully add to the collection here now that North Carolina's going back to back to back. So we'll add a new back scratcher to the basement.
By the way, we had the visit on the men's lacrosse bracket with Anish Shroff earlier in the 8 o'clock hour. We covered exactly the ACC got all five teams into the men's bracket. North Carolina, the number one seed, Duke 2, Virginia 4, Notre Dame and Syracuse both grabbed six seeds. The Irish might have been a little surprising on that men's card to have a six seed, but as Anish indicated, it might be a good thing for Kevin Corrigan and his team. We look forward to following the progress. Action, by the way, for that starts on Saturday. The women's bracket, Mark, six ACC teams earned bids. ACC leads everybody with six. North Carolina is the number one overall seed. Syracuse 3. Boston College is 4. Notre Dame is 5. And the ACC now 16 consecutive years, 21 of 24 with at least four teams in the NCAA women's lacrosse field.
And should be noted, Duke is a 7 seed. So Virginia.
That's it, Duke 7. Thank you.
And Virginia did not get a seed, but nevertheless, so 5. Seeded teams, six in the ACC. Again, it's been consistent with what we've told you for the last couple months when we got away from men's and women's basketball with the Olympic sports. The ACC is having a spectacular spring Olympic sports season. Just telling you. Golf, tennis, field hockey, lacrosse, soccer. I mean, it's swimming and diving. National championships. It's just been phenomenal what the conference has produced when it comes to the Olympic sports. Really fantastic.
Yep. So congratulations on the bids and good luck in the competition. Let's go to the Sunday baseball scoreboard here, if we can, ahead of the ACC softball championship bracket from Louisville this week that we just told you about starting on the 12th. The baseball scoreboard from yesterday, Miami beat Appalachian 10-2. Justin Henry Malloy was with us yesterday. Georgia Tech comes from 6-0 down to beat Clemson 9-8. Wake Forest lost on Saturday night to Elon 5-2. Tom Walter's team trying to scramble around with some makeup games pack. Played a doubleheader with Belmont yesterday, winning 10-1 and 11-1. And Virginia Tech beat Toledo 16-5. You may worry, kind of say, well, wait a second, that's all you had in the baseball? Remember, we had, Florida State, Notre Dame on the schedule. We had some other games also this weekend. But remember, we're also trying to get some games scheduled in around exam schedules, graduation, whatnot, in the ACC this weekend. So that gets you up to date on yesterday's baseball action. Clemson won the regular season in softball, as we told you earlier in the start of the show. John Rittman's team taking 2 of 3 at Syracuse. In just their second season of existence, the Tigers are the top seed at the ACC softball championship. But, Pac, as you've noted, Clemson and Florida State have not played this year. They are 1-2 as we show you the bracket that begins on Wednesday in Derby City.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, we really didn't have a softball season last year. So, really, this is the first full season that Clemson softball has ever existed. And they won the regular season in a league that's always been good with softball, including a program at Florida State, which is legendary. So Clemson and Florida State are 1-2. They haven't seen each other all year. Maybe they'll see each other for a championship, but they got to get there first, and it won't be easy for either one of them. There'll be some challenges along the way here, but this could get cranked up this week, May 12th. That's a Wednesday, as you pointed out. But it should be good. Like I said, it should be highly entertaining, and it certainly has been during the regular season.
Yep. Remember, our coverage starts at 1 o'clock on Wednesday, 11 a.m. on Thursday, and the semifinals at 1 o'clock on Friday. So looking forward to the ACC softball championships coming up this weekend. Clemson, the 1 seed. Florida State, the 2 seed in Louisville. In tennis, Carolina and Virginia have advanced to the round of 16 in the men's side. Carolina, NC State, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Virginia, and Duke. Wait a second. 1, 2, 3. That's 6 of the 16 on the women's side, Pac.
You surprised? We keep telling you. The spring sports season has been it's been awesome. I mean, just crazy how good the leagues are when it comes to these Olympic sports. And, again, it gives us certain – the best thing about it, Wes, it gives us stuff to talk about when we start getting into April and May, when you think, oh, my gosh, now what's going on? Well, in this league, there's a ton going on, April and May.
Yep.
And who knows? We'll get into June with the road to Omaha. We'll see how that works out, too.
Yeah. So congratulations to Carolina and Virginia on the men's side, and then those other 6 schools on the ladies' side. Tar Heels, Wolfpack, Noles, Jackets, Cavaliers, and Blue Devils all advancing into the Sweet 16. Man, what a spring it's been so far for the league, and a little more left to go, as they say. All right, we have plenty more to go. We have done such a good job of keeping the quiet on the Golf Awards, by the way. Once again, pat yourself on the back.
We have.
I haven't told anybody.
My wife says I can't keep a secret. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm great at keeping a secret. I mean, again, we have batted perfection when it comes to the ACC Awards. There has never been a slip up. No leakage.
Not a leak.
And we've
not
even
sources,
gone,
not nope. reports say,
That's
nothing.
That's right. We've gone from Commissioner Swofford to Commissioner Phillips, and the power brokers in Greensboro headquarters have still said, you know what? We can trust Packer and Durham. So give them the awards.
That's right.
And so we got this ahead of time. We know who the winners are. And you don't, but you will in about 3 minutes.
That's exactly right. When we come back, we will name the ACC Men's Golf Awards for you. They staged the championship at Capital City Club Crabapple, and we will tell you who the coach of the year, the player of the year, and the freshman of the year are, along with the All-ACC Men's Golf Team next. Packer and Durham, presented for you by New York Life.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Stars of the show.
Yeah, no doubt. That's exactly Chester's look when I told him he was not going to Bojangles on Friday. We're going to Jim Nance.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, fat boy? You're going to get me in that
truck.
Let's go. Load up the truck. Let's go to Bojangles. All right. It's time for us to load up some more awards. We are handing out hardware. That is exactly what we're doing. And this time it involves the game of golf, Wes Durham, one that you absolutely love. And this is going to be a blast.
And right now, it don't love me very much, but that's another story. All right, ACC Men's Golf Awards, shall we? Let's start with Coach of the Year. The Coach of the Year in men's golf in the ACC is Larry Penley, who won his 10th ACC championship when the Tigers beat Florida State in match play in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. The ACC's all-time leader in tournament wins with 83. The championship was his 83rd. He'd probably like to have 84 and 85. He'll be retiring at the end of the year, which is his 38th campaign as the head coach of Clemson's men's golf program. So our congratulations to Larry Penley,
I believe,
by the way, on being named the ACC Coach of the Year.
And I believe he's now won an ACC Coach of the Year in 5 decades, if I'm not mistaken. And that would be a short list. That's a short list in this league. I'm going to do some homework now.
We'll put the
researchers on top of that up there, the smart people up there in Bristol. See who else can match that list.
Yep.
5 decades, though, for Larry Penley.
Exactly.
ACC Coach of the Year. That's impressive.
How about that?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Congratulations to Larry Penley. Absolutely. It's been fun to visit with him along the way in this final campaign. And he's done a remarkable job, and still more to go. Tigers top seed in the Vanderbilt Regional out in Nashville starts later this week. The ACC's Player of the Year is next. And if you followed our conversation with men's golf, this won't be a surprise. John Pack of Florida State is number one in the country by Golf Stat, number two in the country by Golf Week. Played in the Walker Cup over the weekend down at Seminole on the victorious U.S. team. You see he finished in the top 10 in 7 of 8 tournaments this spring, including 1 win, 1 second, and 2 thirds for John Pack. He is the top player on the number 2 ranked team at Florida State. So our congratulations to John Pack.
Tremendous player. I mean, he plays. Yep. Puts it in play, makes everything he looks at. That's a good combination.
Yep. Let's go to the freshman of the year. And this young man is from Raleigh, North Carolina, and a freshman at the University of North Carolina. Peter Fountain, number 6 in the country by Golf Week. He won the ACC individual title at 10 under par 200 on the Monster Capital City Crabapple course. He's the first Tar Heel to win the title since 2003, the first UNC freshman ever to win the ACC individual title, and the 10th freshman in league history to do so. And it is our pleasure on Packer in Durham to welcome Peter Fountain to the program. First of all, Peter, good morning and congratulations on being named the ACC's Freshman of the Year.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me and appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to give you some grief, though, for a second, because this is going to be fun. We've had a bunch of golf conversation on this show, and we get into conversations regarding stroke play versus match play. And you blistered everybody in the ACC. I mean, blistered everybody at the ACC Championship. Then we got into that goofy match play. And Peter, listen, you know how this goes. You know what? You could be making everything you look at. All of a sudden, you play somebody. Man, he makes 6 birdies. You find yourself 3 down. You're like, what in the world's going on here? It is a different world. But, man, so good at the ACC Championship. I know you're kind of wishing, hey, can we bag this match play for a couple more days and let me just go finish it out? Because you guys, your team played great and you played great.
Yeah, we played great as a team. It was just we got a tough draw on, like, when we finished, because we finished and had – like 45 minutes in between when we started match play and when we finished the actual stroke play round. But it was definitely, a tough match play, because we were all pretty mentally drained and tired, but definitely a good learning experience going on to stroke play and match play in the regionals and hopefully national championships.
Peter, this is to be the ACC's Freshman of the Year in such a unique year. And we've talked with several coaches and other golfers in the league about no fall schedule, no fall competition. All of a sudden, you guys jumpstart and get going with the spring. And it feels like you were hustling the entire time after waiting the entire time. Mentally, what did you find yourself doing to make sure you didn't miss this opportunity as a freshman in the ACC?
I would say definitely just kind of looking up to leadership. We have just great coaches that definitely pushed us the entire year and kept us focused. And then I would say one person that really helped me out just tremendously was Austin Hitt, who's kind of just shared all his wisdom from college golf and shared his just experiences with me and definitely helped me a ton along the way.
Peter, going from high school, and again, the way the circuit now works for high school golf, I mean, you guys kind of see everybody from a national perspective. Was that a big transition going to college golf, or was it just kind of like, hey, you know what, been there, done that?
It was definitely a big transition. Everyone in college golf is good. And, I mean, junior golf it's better than it ever has been. But everyone in college golf, everyone can beat you. So you're definitely working your butt off just to keep up with everyone. But it was definitely a big transition, though, from college golf to junior golf.
And just to follow up on that, so, like, immediately you probably sense when you joined the North Carolina golf team, wow, these dudes can play. So as a freshman, mentally, what did you have to do in the fall, given the fact there was no competition, getting ready for the spring? What did you work on where you said, hey, listen, I got work to do in this particular area to be able to compete at this level?
Absolutely. I definitely had to work a lot on short game, because honestly, everyone in college golf hits it well. So, and just the people that are separated between the good players and the great players all have really good short games. And so I felt like I had to improve my putting and chipping a lot just to get to the next level for sure.
All right, so when you say everybody in college golf hits it well, does that mean that the game begins from the fairway in?
I would say so. Everyone hits it long in college golf, and everyone hits it straight. So I feel like the good players and from the great players all putt it really well, and I would say definitely their proximity from the hole with their iron shots and wedge shots is all really, really good.
Hmm. All right, so who in the league? We just gave out the player of the year to John Pack, who's, again, the number one ranked player. Who else, when you saw their game for the first time as a freshman in the league, you went, oh, okay now. All right, I got my hands full. Who are those guys?
I would say one that really sticks out is Ben Shipp. He had an amazing year this year, but his short game is as good as anyone I've ever seen. He putts it so well, chips it so well. I mean, hits it long and straight, but his short game is excellent. And I definitely learned a lot by playing with him.
So Ben Shipp from NC State, all right, Peter, is the guy.
Yep. The guys you saw this year, and I want to, you grew up in Raleigh, so I mean you're familiar with all this ACC stuff. Your older brother played golf at Carolina. You went to Broughton, which is a driver wedge from NC State. So take me through this whole deal of winning the ACC individual title in your first year and yet kind of growing up around it, and you played enough junior golf in the state of North Carolina. I mean, I know you've played from the mountains to the coast here. So to have this kind of thing happen as a freshman, do you have to kind of calm yourself down here a little bit and say, hey, wait a second, okay, this is early, but I still got a lot to learn here?
I would say definitely a little bit. I still have three more years to go. And I mean, our main goal is coming up in a couple of weeks. We want to win a national championship really badly. And so definitely have to refocus, because the job is definitely not done yet. And just being from Raleigh and growing up with just around so many amazing golfers and just older golfers was definitely a huge blessing.
So this whole national championship thing, you know, we've heard coaches, we've heard players talk about the format that you just went through with the ACC. You know, I still don't get a sense that there's a total agreement across the board that this is the way it should be played. But it is what it is, right? You're going to play stroke. If you qualify, great. Now we go match play. Do you think that's the true meaning of figuring out a champion, Peter, big picture? I know it's the same rules for everybody, so it really doesn't matter. But in a perfect world, how would you lay it out?
Honestly, I like it a lot how it is now, just because, I mean, honestly, not always, the best team doesn't always win because of match play. I mean, you can go out and blister the field like, I mean, we did in ACCs, but then the 8 seed come in and win the tournament. And I just like that because it just makes it more fun, because then, I mean, there's just a fresh start for match play and then everyone has a chance. And so I think it honestly makes it more fun going from stroke play to match play.
So you like the format?
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Peter, we got a developing story on the Packer and Durham program I want to get your opinion on. My partner here, you may or may not know, was a former golf letter winner at Clemson back in the 80s when the Tigers started winning golf championships. And this past weekend, you know, Coach Penley's retiring at Clemson at the end of the year. They honored Coach Penley with a big Friday night shindig at Quail Hollow. And a lot of his former teammates were there. Well, Mark has not played golf since his oldest daughter was born.
Youngest.
So that's 20-some years
ago. Oldest. That's right.
Youngest daughter. Oldest daughter, Gigi. 20-some years ago, right? 24? Is that right, Pac? 24 years.
24 years and change since I've hit a golf ball.
All right. So, Peter.
And I got, by the way,
his old teammates.
Wait. And I've got one good knee. I've got a torn tendon in my right knee. So I got a torn tendon in one knee. Have not hit a golf ball in 24 years, and now that sets up the question.
All right, Peter, his former teammates are coaxing him into a golf trip and trying to talk him out of retirement 24 years after he stopped playing golf. If you were to suggest Packer go back into golf, what club should he start hitting first?
Oh, it's easy.
To get that old swing back.
Oh, man. 24 years is a long time between just not play golf. And so I'm sure you'll definitely be a little rusty. But, I mean, the Titleist are definitely my favorite, and I would probably recommend those. Those have always been the clubs I've used, and they've worked well for me. So definitely highly recommend those.
Yeah. What club? Like, not the brand. What iron should he start with? Six, five, seven?
No.
Where do you think Pack ought to go?
Wedge.
I feel like seven iron is definitely a good way, a good place to start. I feel like that's definitely a club that whenever I'm getting a lesson, that's always the club that I hit the most, just because it's kind of in between like all the low wedges and then the driver. And so I feel like that's definitely a good place to start.
It's kind of scary to think that the last time I played golf, Peter wasn't on the earth.
That's right. That's why we're asking Peter this question.
Let that marinate a second. The last time I hit a bad shot, Peter wasn't here. Peter was not part of the plan yet. How about that?
Yeah. Now we're specifically asking this because of that right there, and I'm glad we got to this point, because that's kind of what I wanted to get to, was the fact Peter wasn't even born the last time you played golf.
That's right. By the way, the boys, Peter, the guys don't think I can break 110. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
110.
Oh, you played golf at Clemson, so you have to be pretty good. I think you definitely could break 110.
Outstanding answer. Peter Fountain all over. Not only is he young and talented, he's also bright. He gets it. Now, he got nobody on this show thinks I can break 110. Isn't that sick?
Putting it out, Peter. I think you can.
We golfers have to look out for each other.
Right. But you know what? They don't understand, right? We can keep it in play, right? With your eyes closed. You keep it in play and just bunt it down. Or you can play double bogey golf. Come on.
No.
That's not that bad.
No. Peter, we're putting this out. We're putting it all out. We're
best
counting
part of
it
my
off
game.
The tee.
It's the best part of my game.
One out.
It's putting.
You know. Okay. All right. Peter, ask the question. Let's move along.
Peter's my man.
Peter's on your team.
Yes,
everybody else is against you in this retirement.
That's fair enough. Y'all are just jealous. Peter's my man.
Okay.
All right. Here's the question, Peter. Yeah. Since you've been at North Carolina for one full year, and it's been a crazy year during the pandemic, what did you find to be your most difficult course?
I would say, well, I guess technically this wasn't like a team tournament, but
whoa. Let me rephrase the question.
I knew that was coming.
I was worried when I said it that way. Since you've been at North Carolina for 1 year, and it's been a different year given the pandemic, since you've been at North Carolina, what has been your most difficult class? Then we'll get to your course.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Oh, man. We've definitely had some difficult ones. I would say my history class right now, that is definitely one of my more difficult, just because so much information I have to learn, and a lot of like little assignments you have to do. So you have to be able to keep up with everyone in class and keep up with the teachers and make sure you stay organized, or you definitely will fall behind. So I'd say my history class right now is definitely one of my more difficult.
You want to give a shout out to your history professor? Maybe it'll help down the road here real quick.
I don't think he's watching this, but Professor Waterhouse, you were great this semester, and hopefully you grade my, I hope you grade my exam.
All right. If you need
us, great well.
If you need us to get you this tape, for if it could be of any help down the road, we'll be more than obliged. What was the hardest course as far as golf goes?
So five of us went down and played a tournament in Texas in October, and the course is called Merido, and it was brutal. It was one that I don't know if I'll ever go back to. It was amazing. The course was phenomenal. The people there were phenomenal, but the course was. It was brutal. It was so hard. We always joke about it between my teammates and I, and we were like, yeah, we're never going back there.
And what was it, the Texas wind? What was the story there? With conditions, or was it just a little bit of everything?
The wind was super windy, but the course was super long and really tight. And so it made it – and then the greens were extremely undulated and fast. And so it made for just the perfect recipe for a hard golf course.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, listen, you're playing great, and we wish you the very best, you and your team. And there's a lot of teams in this league have the chance to win a national championship, and you know that better than anybody. So we wish you the very best.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me.
You got it.
All right, Peter, take care. Before we hit the break here, how about a quick look at the ACC's men's golf team for 2021? Obviously includes Peter Fountain from North Carolina. Three players from Clemson made the list as well of all ACC men's golf. We had three guys from Florida State, three from Carolina, three from Wake Forest, and you mentioned Ben Shipp, Peter did, of NC State. He and Maximilian Steinlechner of NC State were on the list. You see Jacob Bridgman, Turk Pettit, Colby Patton of the champion Clemson Tigers. Alex Fitzpatrick of Wake Forest, a Walker Cupper, by the way. John Pack of Florida State also on that list. So, but congratulations to Peter Fountain. He's the ACC Freshman of the Year.
Pretty talented group of players right there. I'm just telling you, you will see those names right there. You will see those again down the road when we start talking about the PGA Tour and everything else. There's a lot of talent in this league that's going to be seen on the ultimate stage.
Tell the truth. All right, when we come back, final segment on this Monday edition of Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. College Cup, trying to determine who's on the men's side going to get there. We'll take another step today. We'll tell you about it next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Honestly, once you get into a routine of waking up early, 6 a.m.-ish, it's pretty easy. It's a good routine to be in. And I would say coming out here on the water or even getting in the weight room or being, you know, on the ergs with my teammates is still the highlight of my day, even if it's at 6 a.m.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, those are the days where we get a lot of the volume in. So those days are, like, more intense. Some drills to help with technique and form.
Rope. Arms and bodies, go. Half side, go. Full side, go. Rope.
We just get to, like, go really hard, and it's just, like, it's really awesome. It's fun.
Go back to forward. That's one, and two. Forward, dog. Three, and gone.
I think what the most fun is when you actually get on the water and we're seat racing. You know, we've got three or four boats across, and everybody's just pushing. And that competition within the team is something that's, you know, it's unmatched.
Yeah, Tess! Kevin always tells us to just keep pushing for more inches. And so I think every day when we're on the erg, in the weight room, or on the water, pushing for a little bit more just to better ourselves is what is really, really important. And in the end, when we line up against other teams at the end of May at ACCs and NCAAs, I think that is when all of those inches are really going to come out. And so I think that pushing when nobody is watching is what is really, really important.
Virginia, by the way, is the number one seed in all five events of this weekend's ACC Rowing Championships, which are Friday and Saturday. You can see more on this story, along with an inside look at John Rittman and Clemson softball and Miami baseball in a new edition of All Access the ACC Life, which debuts tonight at 8 o'clock right here on ACC Network.
I want to do that.
That'll get you in shape, Coach.
Oh, you better believe it. I don't have any interest in rowing. I want to be at the end with the whistle and row, stroke. I've told you, I want to do that. I asked Dan Radakovich. He said, no, you were not allowed. Maybe I need to go to Carla Williams and say, Carla, is there any way I could get on those boats? Because I think it just looks awesome, right? Crack of dawn. I mean, I don't sleep. I'm up before the sun comes up every day. I think getting out on a lake like that would be awesome.
All right.
No?
Don't you think we're starting to press our luck here a little bit? I mean, you want to drive the golf cart across country.
Right.
Why not? You're asking for the Kentucky Derby show.
Right. What's the problem?
Something else you got involved. Now you want to get in rowing? You want to get in the row game?
When Dan Radakovich was on, I asked him, first of all, I wanted to know how expensive. Remember Bubba Cunningham was on with us? And Bubba talked about when he was at Tulsa, driving across country with those, he couldn't believe how expensive those things were. And it was a great story. And he said, listen, I'm only going to put this thing in drive because I have to put it in reverse where it's a disaster trying to back that stuff, all the equipment. I think getting out on the lake like that would be phenomenal. I can't even imagine how cool that is. I know you don't want to do it.
We got a lot going.
I know you don't want to
start the off season, so to speak, of the athletic calendar. We got a lot going on. I mean, you're getting ready to, you know, unwrap your golf game. You're going to come out of retirement. Peter Fountain told you to start with a 7-iron.
Well, that's good advice. I was going to go wedge since I only have one good leg. But 7-iron makes sense.
I think that's going to be – you're going to have to start now from the conditioning standpoint. You're going to have to start now to offset that leg injury.
I think the best way to start the conditioning program is to get on one of those rowing boats. Just have somebody row me around Lake Norman or something. I'd go up to Charlottesville. I love Charlottesville. That's a beautiful spot out there in the lake.
Tomorrow on this show, we will have more awards. Yep, that's right. ACC Softball Awards tomorrow.
We say nothing.
Coming tomorrow on this show, Pac.
I know nothing.
We say nothing.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
We'll also advance more to the men's side from the College Cup in soccer that's taking place at the Wake Med Soccer Park in Raleigh.
Yep. Big one.
We look forward to talking about that. I'm sure we will have some news. There is a lot of turbulence in the college basketball world right now with players finding final destinations. Remember now, most of these semesters are over. Young people are into the portal on the basketball side, Pack. The comings and goings of college basketball, I'm sure, will develop a little bit this week. And by the way, the ACC spring meetings start today, being held virtually for the next couple days, too. So no pink. Why don't you bring some of that Himalayan sea salt onto the set, just make you feel better about yourself.
We haven't been back in 2 years. I mean, it's been back-to-back years now. We're either nothing or not on the road with that. But, you know, I thought for sure that you were going to bring up the basketball issue. It wasn't going to be the transfer portal. It was going to be the great idea that all of a sudden flopping deserves a technical foul, perhaps, in college.
We got plenty of time. We got 4 days this week to go.
That needs to be discussed. That is a
we'll get to that.
Terrible idea.
Thanks to Anish Shroff, Justin Henry Malloy, Dallin Cuff, and Peter Fountain. Drew, Josh, Jen, Chrissy, everybody, fabulous job. Take care.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.